You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Attention all high school juniors and seniors looking to play football at the collegiate level. Register for the Cleveland Browns High School Showcase. That's taking place on Sunday, March 9th. Over 50 college coaches have been invited. Space is limited. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to register. Vic Carucci with Nathan, Nate Dogzagura right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. The show is Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven by Liberty Ford, and we are joined right now, very pleased to be, by a good friend, longtime friend in this business from the Miami Herald. He is Armando Salguero. Armando, how are you, my friend?
Vic Carucci, you are my hero. How are you?
That's nice. That's a better, I wish I gave you a better introduction than that. Well, listen, I got to ask you right off the bat, as far as the whole Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito, the Ted Wells findings go, how far does this take? Does this lead in terms of the league's, A, the punishment that it's going to administer to the Dolphins? What are you anticipating there? And then the bigger question for those of us in other markets is, what does it mean for the rest of the NFL and addressing the workplace of NFL teams?
Well, let me take your first part of the question first, and that is, I'm not certain that there will be a Dolphins penalty. In other words, I don't think that there will be draft choices taken away or draft positioning taken away, or I don't think the team itself will be fined, because a couple of reasons. The report makes very clear that Joe Philbin as the head coach, while sadly not aware of what was going on, and while that suggests a little bit of ineptitude, it does not suggest complicity. So there's that. Owner Stephen Ross was, in fact, the person who requested that the NFL get involved, and he, by all accounts, has been proactive in seeking the NFL's help and in demanding that the investigation was complied with. So from that regard, the Dolphins aren't going to get banged. However, the people, the players, the three players involved, Incognito, John Jerry, Mike Pouncey, probably the offensive line coach Jim Turner will either be suspended or fired by the club, suspended by the NFL or fired by the club. Either way, it's not looking good for him. There might be other people involved as well. The second part of the question about how it affects every other team, it's no secret. Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, is going to be proactive and aggressive in changing locker room culture and addressing locker room culture and making sure that there are lines drawn, that they are drawn in concrete, not in the sand, that people know what is okay and what is not okay. And it's sad that we're coming to that, where, you know, grown adult people and professional men need to be told, this is how you act, this is not how you act. But, you know, the NFL is, if nothing else, wants to make sure that this doesn't happen again, because none of this has been good for the NFL.
No, it hasn't. How surprised were you with the findings in the Wells report? And do you think either Richie Incognito or Jonathan Martin will play again in the NFL?
I was shocked. I expected the whole Incognito-Martin dynamic. We knew about that. That had been well reported, well chronicled. And, yeah, it was ugly and disturbing, and yet you kind of knew about it. But when we're talking about an assistant coach, the offensive line coach, joining in the reindeer game, so to speak, and you know, laughing at the suggestion that at the jokes about a player who, being gay, although he wasn't, and giving offensive linemen blow-up dolls, female blow-up dolls for Christmas, and then giving that guy a male blow-up doll for Christmas. That gets a little ugly to me. That becomes on tawdry, and players picking on an assistant trainer because he's Japanese American, right. And making Pearl Harbor jokes and going with the fake accent. Look, I'm Hispanic, and I was in the Dolphins locker room. And Richie Incognito, one day, he started jabbering gibberish, like, hey, Armando, my friend, that kind of stuff, like he was going to start with me. And I'm also a grown man. I'm 50 years old, and I told Richie Incognito, look, stop. Enough.
Right.
And he stopped. And that was it. But I could see where it could have gone if I had, been uncomfortable and gone, like that kind of stuff, So sometimes I guess the NFL is going to lay down the law on where you can cross the line and where you can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Armando Segarra joins us from the Miami Herald, covers the Dolphins. And you got into something right there that, we don't know who – Is Richie Incognito kind of a entity unto himself, right? Is there, quote, another guy like him around the league? I mean, I can't say with any certainty if there is someone like that, or if he is, he's certainly not drawn the attention that this guy has for all the wrong reasons. But my question is, as you think about what you've witnessed and been a part of and covered there, can you create a structure, you think, Armando? You've been around this pretty much as long as I have. Can you create a structure in this league where that level of monitoring and, making sure, can you add any layers that if not guarantee, at least minimize the chances of this sort of thing happening in the NFL? And can it fit in this locker room culture where you hear so much about the brotherhood and the code of everybody sort of staying and keeping things within their own and in their own family, and coaches even tread carefully and often avoid the locker room because that's the player's domain?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, but here's what I would say to you on that, Vic. The brotherhood, the code, keeping things within the family. One thing that a family is about and a brotherhood is about is love and respect. And you don't hurt your brother.
Right.
You don't, you don't break him down. You don't
right.
beat him up. You need that dude because he's one of only 53. And guess what? On Sunday, the other guys will be trying to break him down, and the other fans will be trying to break him down, and the other coaching staff. So you don't need to pile on. Whatever happened to, men, let's be men, and let's respect each other, because, by the way, if we don't respect each other, we're likely not going to win. We're likely not going to get done what we need to get done, and we'll be unemployed.
Exactly.
Good point.
That's a very good point there. And on top of that, you have a system in which the coach is supposedly presiding over this, and Philbin seemed to not have a lot of knowledge. How is he going to be able to bounce back from that and lead this Miami Dolphins team coming out after this report?
Yeah, that's one of the disappointing things. Joe Philbin, by all accounts, in the report, is released of any, whatever he gets away scot free, no responsibility. However, by definition, the head coach is the leader of the football team. Leaders should know what's going on below them, and they are responsible for everything that goes on below them. A lot of coaches in the NFL, you can't claim ignorance and use that as a defense for ineptitude. You just can't.
Right.
And while the Wells report, which was authored by a lawyer, can say, well, ethically and legally, he is removed from this because he didn't know. Well, yeah, but that presents a problem in the real world because he's supposed to know. He's around that team, you know, 15, 16, 18 hours a day. Make it your business to know.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I wonder, I know Stephen Ross can't do anything about it now. It seemed in the statement that Stephen Ross did release where he seemed very, the Dolphins owner seemed very concerned, to say the least, about the findings. And I get the sense, Armando, that he left the door a little bit open with him because he gave one of those, although, you know, Ross got a kind of the blanket, you know, approval of this thing, he still didn't like the way this report read. Could you see any fallout of this? It's not going to happen now. I guess we all know that. But don't you think it makes for very thin ice going forward for Joe Philbin?
Yeah. Look, anyone with eyes sees that the shine is off, you know? I mean, beyond the fact that the Dolphins were 8-6 and needed to win one of their final two games to finish the season and get into the playoffs and basically didn't show up for either game, lost to last place Buffalo in a shutout, scored only 7 points against, I almost said Cleveland, New York, which they had, you know, dismantled only 3 weeks before. That was that kind of was a wake-up call. And now this report, which shows that even though there was not a lack of institutional control, so to speak, there was a certain amount of work not complete, not done, leadership not shown. That I think that has repercussions on Joe Philbin going forward.
Yeah. Certainly does.
Well, Armando, really great breakdown, as we fully expect from you. And thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
All right, gentlemen, anytime. My pleasure.
He is Armando Salguero. You can check out his great work at the Miami Herald, their website, and make sure you do. This man knows his stuff and really gives you the insight on what's going on with the Miami Dolphins and also the National Football League. We've got much more coming up, continuing with our breakdown and review of the 2013 Browns roster from, well, 53-1, and we'll give you the balance of our rankings. That is to come. We want to hear from you as well. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. And we're going to hear from Gerard Cherry in a little bit as well in this hour, in the remaining part of our show. He is Nate Dogg Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.